Hold on to your knickers, gals. This one is a game changer. Hello, and welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40. That would be me, and that would be you, babe. I'm so glad you're here because today is Monday. I'm Becca Jacobson. I have a snippet for you, and we are in the midst of one of our legendary book studies. Here at The Snippets, periodically, we look at some of the most amazing personal development books ever written and how they apply to the alcohol-free journey. And it just so happens, if you're new around here, you've come in right in the middle of a beautiful look at James Allen's book from 1903 called As a Man Thinketh. And we've already decided we forgive him for the pronoun weirdness, the political incorrectness. We don't care. We know he meant us. Gals, what we've looked at so far in this book is the effects of thoughts on character, how our thoughts actually create our personality, our character, who we are in the world. Last week, we looked at the effects of thought on circumstances, how what we think will actually create the circumstances of our lives. And today, wait for it, ready? Oh my goodness, today we're looking at the effects of thoughts on health and body. Health and body, gals, this is important for us. We're over 40, we're over 50, we're over 60. We need to be concerned about our health, especially if we've been struggling with alcohol. We worry, don't we? Women say to me all the time, if I don't quit drinking, my body's gonna just, you know, and there's all this concern. Of course there's concern. Over drinking, over 40, not a good combination, right? Well, wait till you hear what James Allen has to say on this topic. But before we do that, I have to tell you the story of my mother. I may have told you this story before. It is so relevant to what we're talking about today. Oh, my poor mother. So in approximately 1990, I would say, she died in 2003 of breast cancer. In around 1990, she had been very heavily into drinking and drugs, and she never was able to give up either. But what she did do was suddenly become incredibly concerned about cancer. This came about in the early 90s. And I noticed it. We all noticed it. She talked about cancer a lot. She changed her diet, went all organic, started growing an organic garden, got into all the supplements and the green drinks, and was constantly reading up on and researching health and, you know, especially non-pharmaceutical solutions. And she talked about it almost every day. Oh, don't eat that. That causes cancer. Or be careful of this. It'll cause cancer. And the whole thing was focused on cancer. Well, it only took about 10 years of her focusing on cancer for her to become riddled with it and die. Now, listen, gals, there are people who don't believe that that's what happened. I believe it with all my heart. I remember saying to her, I get it, Ma, we want to eat healthy, but why the worry? She was obsessed with cancer, and she literally talked about it every day. And I believe to this day that she created cancer in her body because of her fear of cancer. So let's have a look at what James Allen has to say about this. In fact, this section is very short, and it is so well written that I'm almost going to read the whole thing to you. I don't usually do this, but you got to hear this in case you're not reading the book. You've got to hear what he says. I'm going to read a little bit. It's only a few paragraphs. The whole thing is just over one page. And I'm going to read a little bit. We'll talk about it and read a little bit and talk about it. But I want you to hear his words because I can't possibly do better than he's done here. So he says, at the bidding of unlawful thoughts, the body sinks rapidly into disease and decay. At the command of glad and beautiful thoughts, it becomes clothed with youthfulness and beauty. Isn't that beautiful? So you can think what he calls unlawful thoughts, and you'll sink into disease and decay. Or you can think glad and beautiful thoughts, and your body becomes youthful and beautiful. Just your thoughts alone. Continuing on, he says, disease and health, like circumstances, are rooted in thought. Sickly thoughts will express themselves through a sickly body. Thoughts of fear have been known to kill a man as speedily as a bullet, and they are continually killing thousands of people just as surely, though less rapidly. Now, here's the lie. Listen to the next sentence. Listen to this. I'm just like, oh my God. The people who live in fear of disease are the people who get it. Bam. I believe my mother did not die from cancer. She died from thinking about cancer. I don't know. I see the look on your face, but that's what I believe. And I always have, even before I found James Allen's book. Let's move on. Well, go ahead and laugh all you want, but that's what all I can say. Here's what he says. Let's hear it. Let's look at it again. The people who live in fear of disease are the people who get it. There is so much I could say about this, especially in light of some of the things that happened around here, meaning on Earth, in the years 2020 and 21 and 22. I believe that that sentence there defines a lot of what happened to us in those crucial years. But we're not actually going to go there because it's way too touchy of a subject. But I will just point that out to you. The people who live in fear of disease are the people who get it. And boy, oh boy, were we afraid or were we afraid in those years? And not only that, but we were taught how to be afraid. It was everywhere, wasn't it? Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. You're going to get this. Be afraid. Anyway, enough of that. Don't want to go there. Instead, we don't want to give ourselves illness because we're afraid of our drinking. I don't care if you're still drinking. It's more deadly to you to think about what it's doing to your body than to drink the drink. So for God's sakes, if you're drinking and thinking fearful thoughts of what it's doing to your body, you're getting a double whammy. So if you can't stop drinking, at least stop thinking about the damage it's doing and instead say to yourself, well, you know what? I might have had a few glasses of wine, but I know that I'm strong and I'm resilient and I am going to have a healthy body one way regardless, or whatever thought works for you. But when you take the wine, add to it the fear thought, and you're giving yourself, it's like having double the wine or double the fear or double, it's a double whammy. Anyway, that was all sidebar. Let's get back to James here. He says next, this one's really key because he talks about anxiety and of many, many of us struggle with anxiety. In fact, it's one of the reasons we drink. Anxiety quickly demoralizes the whole body and lays it open to the entrance of disease. While impure thoughts, even if not physically indulged, will soon shatter the nervous system. I'm more concerned about the anxiety thoughts than the impure thoughts. I think there he's talking about, I don't think many of us run around with impure thoughts. I don't know about you, but when I'm walking down the street, I'm not checking out the guy in front of me and wondering what's going on in his knickers, right? I think that's what he meant by an impure thought. And most women don't really have those types of impure thoughts. So let's focus on the first part of this sentence. Anxiety quickly demoralizes the whole body and lays it open to the entrance of disease. And over, I hear women say to me, I struggle with anxiety, or I suffer from anxiety, or I drink because of anxiety. That's one of the big reasons I drank. It immediately settles the nervous system, although it's fake settling of the nervous system. And that anxiety is nicely calmed, isn't it? And it's instant. It's like right on. All I need is my red wine and I'm good. But the anxiety itself lays the body open to disease. Okay. Then he says, strong, pure, and happy thoughts build up the body in vigor and grace. The body is a delicate and plastic instrument which responds readily to the thoughts by which it is impressed. And habits of thought will produce their own effect, good or bad, upon it. There it is. I mean, it's just straightforward. There's no question about it. It isn't like I wonder if this is affecting my health. It is affecting your health. I'm skipping a little bit ahead, and then we will go to this section. Change of diet will not help a man who will not change his thoughts. Right? Right? This is why I say just giving up alcohol but not changing your thoughts or your emotions or the way you view the past or your relationships, just giving up alcohol but not changing anything else about yourself is pointless. It is pointless. It won't make a difference. You'll just be what we like to call a dry drunk, a miserable person who doesn't drink. Here it is again. And you can insert alcohol where he says diet. Change of diet will not help a man who will not change his thoughts. Well, If your diet is full of wine and you change it and remove the wine, that's not going to help you if you refuse to change your thoughts. And thoughts are everything. The thoughts come from our beliefs. Thoughts create our emotions. Every thought leads to an action, which creates our lives. It's just all there. And so if we're unwilling to change our thoughts, giving up wine isn't going to do a whole hell of a lot. Wow, right? Wow. If you would perfect your body, guard your mind, James says. If you would renew your body, beautify your mind. Thoughts of malice, envy, and disappointment, despondency, rob the body of its health and grace. A sour face does not come by chance. It is made by sour thoughts. Wrinkles that mar are drawn by folly, passion, and pride. Listen, gals, we're aging. We are aging, and we're going to continue to age. But how we age and the way it shows up on our faces is a direct reflection of the thoughts we're thinking. If we're pinched and anxious and worried and depressed because of our alcohol struggles and our failure to be able to overcome alcohol, we're aging not just because of what the alcohol does to us, but the thoughts we are thinking are also aging us. So there it is again, another double whammy. Here's a comparison from James Allen. I know a woman of 96 who has the bright, innocent face of a girl. I know a man well under middle age whose face is drawn into inharmonious contours. The one is the result of a sweet and sunny disposition. The other is the outcome of passion and discontent. Gals, this is so important. I just hope you're hearing this. Are you hearing this? Hey, you in the back, pay attention. I want you to get this. I want you to get this because it is the doorway to freedom for you. It is the doorway to freedom. If you take this type of self-care, looking after the thoughts, taking care of your past, letting go of old resentments, learning how to forgive. In other words, undertaking that beautiful process of recovery in the first year of your sobriety. And you put down the wine at the same time, and you do it with a bunch of other loving women who are going through the same process. You come out the other end transformed and younger than you were the day you started. Suddenly your face is glowing. Your eyes are kind and compassionate. You're no longer pinched. That pinched feeling in the heart, in the stomach, and then it turns into the face gets pinched because you're not anxious and worried about your drinking and struggling. The quiet, secret struggle underneath, the isolation, all of that is gone as you open your heart to a group of other women who are also letting go of alcohol, letting go of these types of thoughts. And suddenly you've got this glow on your face. Forget whatever diet or exercise program you think you want to do to feel younger and healthier. This will do more than all of that put together. Obviously, we want to be exercising and eating right. Yeah. But even if you're doing all of that, if you're having all these negative thoughts about yourself, you're just counteracting all of this good you're trying to do. Like my mom. She went 100% organic. You weren't allowed to even bring food into her kitchen. She would call everything she would point at and go, oh, that'll cause cancer. Oh, that'll cause cancer. And meanwhile, the whole time, by the time they diagnosed her cancer in 2001, it was way far gone. It had been there for years. And she was growing it, nurturing it by her thoughts and fears. All the while stuffing her body with organic foods and green drinks, carrot juice. All of that. And she used her rebounder. She had a rebounder, which I actually still have, which is weird. But despite all of that, she was thinking every day, fear thoughts around cancer. Amazing, right? Okay, let's get back to James Allen. There is no physician like cheerful thought for dissipating the ills of the body. There is no comforter to compare with goodwill for dispersing the shadows of grief and sorrow. To live continually in thoughts of ill will, cynicism, suspicion, and envy is to be confined in a self-made prison hole. But to think well of all, to be cheerful with all, to patiently learn to find the good in all, such unselfish thoughts are the very portals of heaven. And to dwell day by day in thoughts of peace towards every creature will bring abounding peace to their possessor. That is how he ends this little section. And I read almost the whole thing to you. As I say, it's just over one page long. But oh my God, gals, is that enough to think about for one day? Like, holy crap, right? I want you to think about this a lot. I want you to come back and listen to it again. If you don't have the book, this is page 12. The book's 21 pages long. The audio is less than 1 hour. This section is worth reading and rereading. And so what is your homework this week? As each week we're using our As a Man Thinketh journal or As I Thinketh, let's talk about your homework for this week. Gals, as I just said, this book is free. Just Google PDF As a Man Thinketh and it'll be open right on your computer instantly. Your homework for today is, first of all, read, if nothing else, just this page. It's page 12. Okay? I want you to read it for yourself and give it some quiet thought. Sit with it. Then I want you to go into your As I Thinketh journal and I want you to list the thoughts that you believe could be contributing to ill health for you. Thoughts around not just alcohol, but often it's thoughts of the past. Oh man, I did this, I did that. I hear this all the time from women. You know, my stomach's this and that. And we're expecting things to go wrong. The expectation of illness will create illness. So get into your journal and dig down and ask yourself, what thoughts do I need to clean up here? Am I worried about cancer? Am I worried about an ulcer? Am I worried about my liver? Because worrying about these things will not help them. And then I want you to write, what can you think instead? Now, last week we talked a lot about the importance of thinking intentional thoughts, but only if they don't feel like lies. So again, go into your journal and ask yourself, what thoughts can I think that I don't feel like they're lies, but they are helping me along physically? So one example could be, I have a resilient body. Even if you're sick today, you can say that and not feel like a liar. What's wrong with that? I have a resilient body. Just that alone could change everything. So go into that journal, dig around, find out what you're thinking that you want to change, come up with something else, and then over the next week, pay close attention. What am I thinking about my body? What am I thinking about others? Because it's not just the body. We want to think, as James ended this section, he says right here, that to dwell day by day in thoughts of peace towards every creature will bring abounding peace to the possessor. Do you think lovely thoughts of others day by day? Well, there's a piece of homework for you. Gals, I'm so glad you're here with me on this little journey. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And I really do believe that all of this, you don't even have to do all of it. Just this one alone can change your life. It could have saved my mother's life. I believe that. And gals, if you'd like to experience what it's like to be with other women undertaking this journey, your timing is impeccable. 1 week from today, next Monday, September 1st, yep, it's Labor Day, I am starting the 7-day September Sobriety Sprint. I know, I love the S's. This is 7 days we're going to spend together. I'm going live each and every day at the wine o'clock. That's right. What's that? What's wine o'clock? 5 o'clock Eastern. So depending on your time zone, that's often the time of day that's difficult for women. So at that, every day from September 1st to 7th, I'm going to go live. You can join me live. And I'm going to walk you through some foundational strategies to get your sobriety started. I'm going to give you daily micro homework. I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet other women and see what it feels like to be supported and not isolated on this journey. The women who come in through my live events like this are the ones who have the most success because they get to see what it feels like firsthand to be supported, understand how powerful it is, and then commit. And you have the option if you want of staying with me a couple of months longer. That's optional. But the 7 days are free and open to you if you're hearing my voice. Go to the show notes because I've just opened up today registration. Monday, the 25th of August, day one of registering. Get in there. Give me your email so I can send you back all the information you need to attend this event. It's not happening on Facebook. It's not happening on WhatsApp. This is a private location only for us gals. And I can't wait to meet you there. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.